hear and believe the good news that if you repent and believe in God's redeeming mercy through Christ, your sins are forgiven. In joy and in trouble, help us, gracious God, to trust your love, to serve your purpose, and praise your name. Amen. The Bible readings, the first one is from Book of Romans, chapter 15, from verse 4. Romans 15, from verse 4. Apostle Paul says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scripture, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the ancestors, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name." And again he says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him." And again Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope." May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of God. The Psalter is Psalm 72. Psalm 72. And we use part 3. It's on page 790 or 791. Blessed are you, O God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous things. Blessed is your glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with your glory. Hail to God's own anointed, who rules iniquity. The Gospel reading is from Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, from verse 1. Matthew 3, the first 12 verses. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions around Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance, and do not presume to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is more powerful than I, and I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hands, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, our rock, our Lord, our Redeemer. Amen. This Sunday we have the second Sunday of Advent, which is the Sunday of Peace. And as it is our tradition, the reading is from the Gospel reading is about John the Baptist. And this is a complex picture, John the Baptist, Advent, and Peace. Last Sunday, we had Hope Sunday, and I mentioned to you, if you remember, that we have a language problem with the whole concept of hope, because both languages, English and Hungarian also, hope is expressing, usually is expressing uncertainty. And I used the not very tasteful example, and somebody comes to you and asks you, do you think you have salvation when you die? After you die, you go to heaven. And you say, I hope. That doesn't express a lot of confidence. So hope in our languages is communicating uncertainty. At the same time, in the Old Testament Hebrew and in the New Testament Greek, in both cases, the words actually hope refer to certainty. Communicating confidence. Our problem with peace this morning is not as severe, it's just more than meets the eye. When we talk about peace, we usually mean the lack of war, the lack of conflict. So we have the candle lighting hymn. A candle is burning, a candle of peace, a candle signal that conflict must cease. No more conflict. This is peace. However, in the Bible, in both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, peace means more than the end of war. It talks about completeness, well-being, rest, reconciliation, and functional relationship. So when people say to each other, peace be with you, or peace unto you, it means some kind of a complete reconstruction, kind of a fullness coming from God. I assume if there is one Hebrew word everybody knows is
shalom.
Amen. Sorry, it was a joke. The second one is shalom. there is peace. So if there is one Hebrew word everybody knows in the church, it's amen. The other one is shalom. Shalom means peace. So, and when I was working on this sermon, kind of I remembered the old country, because I've told you, whenever we talked about the old country, my old country, I talked to you that my old country is technically, historically speaking, a two-denomination country. People are either Roman Catholic or Presbyterian, no real third option. And the Catholics had a greeting, Laudator Jesus Christus in eternum amen. Have you heard? One person heard it. Praised be Jesus forever. Amen. Laudator Jesus Christus. So that's the Catholics. The Presbyterians means blessing and peace. Blessing and peace. So if anyone says blessing and peace, you know he's Presbyterian. It's a calling card. Whoever says blessing and peace, it means I'm Presbyterian. So, it's not just in the Middle East people say each other salam or shalom. Even in churches, people greet each other with peace. Because peace is reflecting a kind of a completion, completeness, you can only have from God. So, and of course we have John the Baptist, and John the Baptist as the last prophet of the Old Testament. This is how it is. Even he is in the New Testament. His theology is coming from the Old Testament. He is considered the last prophet of the Old Testament. And we know him because he was baptizing people. And we need to see a bit of a context here, because that was a bit of a scandal. In that day and age, 2,000 years ago, any pagan, any Gentile wanted to become a Jew, he had to go through a kind of a confirmation class. If you are not confirmed and you want to be a member of our church, you have to go through a confirmation class. This is the official way. So, and they had a confirmation class too. And the end of the confirmation class is circumcision. But for the Gentiles, in order to get through this whole process, the first thing, they had to be baptized. They were dunked into water, completely immersed. So they had to wash away of the filth of their Gentile background. So, and what John the Baptist was doing here is baptizing people who were not Gentiles. John the Baptist was extending that washing process, that washing celebration, custom, the extending to Jewish people. And I'm sure a lot of people said, it's not right. The washing, we don't need to be washed. The washing is for the Gentiles. We are not Gentiles, we are Jews. Washing needs to the people who are dirty, who are outside of the covenant. And John the Baptist says, guys, everybody is dirty. Everybody has sins to wash away. Everybody's out. Nobody was born in. And of course, I can imagine there was a controversy. And this is the whole story of John the Baptist. The washing custom, which was designed for the outsiders, which was designed for the pagans, for the Gentiles, he said, everybody must do it. Everybody must do it. And of course, a lot of people felt offended. A lot of people felt offended. He says, because everybody needs to turn back to God. And the message of John the Baptist was, repent, repent, repent. And of course, if you see, look at progressive theology, if you see progressive theology, it is a problem. Repentance is a problem. Because we don't have any personal sins. We only have, progressive theology talks about systemic injustice, systemic unfairness, systemic everything, not personal sins, not personal failures. All the problems exist on a systemic level. Personally, everything's fine. And if it's true, we don't really need repentance, but John the Baptist is saying the opposite. So, going back to the whole issue of peace, it is painfully very much like health. So, the times when we talk about health is when we lose health, when we don't have health, and it's sad. And of course, when we look around this world and we see all the warfare and all the hostility and all things horrible, we feel bad because it's. We imagine that hostility is terrible, and we are afraid that somehow our country would end up in a conflict with some other country. And it's I'm not saying it's likely, but even the thought is scary. So peace is very important, and particularly in times of conflict, in times of strife, we think about peace differently. And we cannot imagine what it feels like to be in a war-torn country. We have news every single day about fights and war and conflicts, and it's horrible. And we can hear people, not just in the countries, not just from the war-torn countries, but the people who are just observers, just like us, to cry to God for peace. And we have the biblical message. We have the message of the Bible that we have peace, complete peace, when the Prince of Peace comes back. And of course, it's a difficult message. In some way, it's a difficult message. Because when Christmas is around the corner, we feel good about ourselves. And when we feel good about ourselves, we feel that things are basically fine. I don't know. Do you remember 1985? Anyone? You were alive, weren't you? Good. Sorry, it was a joke. Do you remember there was a concert, major concert in 1985? We are the world, we are the children. And that was a big thing. That was a big thing because that was an aid concert to help people in Africa. And that was one guy whose name was Bob Dylan. Do you remember Bob Dylan? Good. What? 2, 3, 4, 5. Not okay. Almost everybody. Everybody remembers Bob Dylan. And after that concert, Bob Dylan gave an interview that he didn't feel comfortable singing that song. And they asked him, why? Because he said, because it is giving us an impression that we can make peace. If we try hard enough, we can make peace. But it's not true. It's not true. Bob Dylan was frustrated by this illusion. Bob Dylan was frustrated by the faith of humanity in humanity. Because that whole song for him represented that if we really want to make peace, we can make peace. And it wasn't true. So, the problem with hope, you cannot manufacture hope. Last Sunday was Hope Sunday, and the problem with hope, we cannot manufacture hope. The second illusion is with peace, because we have a half-hearted conviction that we stand around the Christmas tree and holding each other's hand, and we sing hymns, we can make peace. And it's not. The Bible doesn't say we can make peace. The Bible says humanity is unable to make peace. It's a difficult message. This is a difficult message. Because if you have a legitimate desire, you have the conviction that you can make it. One morning, I had a legitimate desire to eat an omelette. And I did it. I imagined better, but still it happened. And we extend our desire to spiritual things. I desire peace. We desire peace. We can make peace. And time after time, we bump into the problem that we cannot. And there is a biblical explanation. The biblical explanation, there is a problem with that. We don't like it. We don't like it. Because if anyone comes there to you and says, no, you cannot do that. When somebody comes to you and says, you cannot do that, you feel offended. Is it right? You feel offended. When somebody comes to you and says, this is beyond your abilities, how dare you? Hope Sunday reminded us that hope is something beyond us. We cannot manufacture hope. We need God to get hope. And the most important thing for human flourishing, probably the most important thing for human flourishing, is peace. And we cannot manufacture it either. And John the Baptist says that you need to turn away from anything and everything, and you need to turn to God. If you don't turn away, from your things, your ideas, your convictions, your plans. You don't turn away from yourself, and you don't turn to God. It's impossible to make peace. And in our heart of hearts, we cry out, we are better than that. And we can have an argument for years and years and years. Because one of us will say, oh, humanity, if humanity really wants to make peace, humanity can make peace. Despite the evidence to the contrary. Despite the teaching of the Bible. So, but there is a spiritual side, and that is kind of in conclusion. Because peace is not just peace for a country. Peace is not just for a community. Peace is for an individual. And this is why it is special, because peace is referring to groups of people and individuals too. For God, the peace of peoples is important. At the same time, the peace of individuals is very, very important too. And peace in this Hebrew term, completeness, reconciliation, wholeness, is raising a question and raising a problem because, you know, life is difficult, you know that. And in many cases we have injuries, wounds of the heart. And some people say, we are even broken. And that is definitely an image from the Bible. That's definitely something coming from the Bible. Some people say, I can see it in my own heart that I'm broken. Some people say, no, I don't see that. I don't see that. And we can ask ourselves first, how deep do you think that brokenness goes? Is it just physical? Is it just physical? Because we are getting older and older every day. And season after season, we feel the aging process, the negative aspect of the aging process. It is a kind of a brokenness. But there might be other brokennesses. Somebody lied to you, somebody cheated you, somebody caused you sleepless nights. That is a form of brokenness. How far down does it go? And of course, it's in the context of hope, which we cannot manufacture. It is very disappointing. It is so disappointing that some people rather choose to live in denial just because we cannot manufacture peace. John the Baptist, his message is very stark, and the message of Jesus Christ is much gentler, but they still say the same. Wake up, realize that you need to turn away from yourself. You need to turn away from the self. You need to turn away from your idols. And you need to turn to God. Why? Because we are created. God created us in a relationship. God created us in a relationship with himself. And God created us in a special way. We cannot find real peace. We cannot find real joy. We cannot find real contentment outside this relationship. The Hebrew word says covenant. Covenant or relationship. We cannot find contentment outside this relationship, outside this covenant. This is why Jesus came, and this is why he is our Prince of Peace. I said all this to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.